Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, O.J. Simpson was just sentenced for the armed robbery in a Las Vegas hotel room this past year, 2007. And the judge hit him pretty hard with the sentence, thankfully, since he got away with murder 10 years ago in Los Angeles. Fred Goldman was on hand in the courtroom to listen to the sentencing. He and his daughter were grateful that O.J. Simpson was hit with consecutive sentences for various charges, including kidnapping, robbery, armed robbery, conspiracy, and so on. And while the actual sentencing was hard for even attorneys to follow, according to the clerk of the court, she indicated to the media that it appears that he's got a minimum of 9 years until he can seek parole out of a possible 33-year jail sentence if you combine all the consecutives and sentences. So that's encouraging. Fred Goldman, whose son Ron was murdered by O.J., along with his estranged wife. Fred Goldman indicated that he felt to some degree that they could have had a hand in O.J. now being behind bars for many years to come, because once they went after him in a civil suit, when the criminal justice system failed, as it did horrendously 10 years ago. By the way, the courthouse in New Orleans, the murder capital of the world, on and off during the 90s. I'm sorry, the murder capital of America, on and off during the 90s. Bob Inyart Live was on air in 80 cities around the country, from Honolulu to Orlando, Florida, including on a full-power broadcast TV station and cable in New Orleans during those years. And when the O.J. Simpson ruling came down, there was an eruption, a spontaneous eruption of applause in the New Orleans courthouse, with lawyers and judges applauding that O.J. Simpson was found not guilty and basically got away with murder, a double murder. And so we actually went, well, then Ron Goldman, he sued O.J. Simpson in civil court for wrongful death and won a $33.5 million judgment against him, and has been ruthlessly following O.J. since then, trying to collect. And we were involved in that about 10 years ago with an auction I'll tell you about in a moment. But O.J., remember that O.J. said he's going to dedicate his life to finding the real killer, and apparently he thinks the real killer was a golf pro because he spent most of his time looking on golf courses. We went to Hollywood for an auction at Butterfield. What is it, Butterfield and Butterfield, the name of the auction house? And back in 1999, and purchased O.J. Simpson's memorabilia at auction, because a judge ruled that as part of the settlement, O.J. Simpson's property would be auctioned off and the money go to the victims' families. And so we went out there and we had quite an interesting time, 10 of us from Bob Inyart Live, and it included who? Doug McBurney and his wife Takako, and me and my wife, Cheryl, and our son, Zachary. And who else went out there? Billy Burns and Matt Shaw. And who? There were a number of other folks who represented the audience of Bob Inyart Live. And we went to the auction in the evening. Of course, it was a media circus. We spent about $15,000, $20,000 or more on the whole effort. And we purchased O.J. Simpson's Hall of Fame Award that he was given when he was inducted into the National Football Hall of Fame. And we purchased his jerseys, his Buffalo Bills jersey, his jerseys that he signed especially back when he won the Heisman Trophy. We purchased that jersey. He signed Heisman 68. And also something he had won called the Lifesavers Award, of all things. And the next day at noon, we burned those items on the steps of the L.A. courthouse while calling for three reforms in the criminal justice system. And remember, it's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. If you search for that quote online, you'll see a book of quotes that has that quote. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. And that's pretty much in a nutshell what's wrong with our criminal justice system. You'll have lawyers and judges telling you it's not about justice. It's about the process. That is a definition of moral relativism and legal positivism. It's not about justice. It's about the process. That's secular humanism. So at any rate, we had quite the time out there. I remember that we bought the items at auction, and we were wearing shirts. That's when we launched kgov.com and shadowgov.com. And we bought these items at auction and announced through the media that we would be burning them the next day at noon at the L.A. courthouse, on the steps of the courthouse at high noon. And so we called for these changes in the criminal justice system. For example, a change to the standard by which you get a conviction. The standard now is that we're looking for evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. And that's a bad standard. The standard should be the standard that God talks about, two or three reasonable pieces of evidence to show guilt. That should be the standard. And also that all convicted murderers should be put to death. These are some of the things we were calling for back when we held this press conference at the LA courthouse. And we were told by staff members at the courthouse, the Chief Justice helped us accomplish this. The Chief Fire Marshal for LA County, the head fire guy. We were told, if you want to get a permit to burn something in downtown LA, forget about it. That's what we were told. And the Chief Justice at the LA courthouse said, you want to burn OJ stuff? Okay, where do I sign? And the fire marshal said the exact same thing. They were so thrilled because of how despicable it was that an obvious murderer can walk out scot-free. So we held this press conference, and it turns out it was, according to courthouse staffers, we were told it was the largest press conference in the history of the L.A. courthouse in memory. As far as a single event press conference, I'd have to go back and look at our notes, but, you know, well over a dozen network TV cameras from this country and around the world. So it was quite an event, and we launched our websites, and that's one of the reasons that our family of websites, like kgov.com, the home of Bob and Yurt Live Online, and theologyonline.com, and shadowgov.com, these sites all work together, promote one another. That's one of the reasons these sites are so popular and figure so highly in search engines. If you Google God and the death penalty, you'll find out of hundreds of thousands of possible websites, our article, God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment, has been mostly number one for the last 10 years, and usually it vies with Antonin Scalia. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia wrote in a publication called First Things, wrote an article on the same topic, and usually we beat him out. So we think it was money well spent, and it was money from our listeners to try to make sure that people did not honor a murderer by buying his memorabilia and putting it up in museums and all, and also to call for a change in the criminal justice system. Now, a lot of interesting things happen. O.J. publicly commented he was angry that we burned his stuff. Of course, it was historic and irreplaceable. And back a year ago, when there was the robbery in Las Vegas, the media reported that O.J. was trying to recover his Hall of Fame award that he received when he was inducted. And that got our attention, and it also got the attention of detectives there, because that was easy to show on CNN and quite a few other news websites. Still to this day, you could see that that was destroyed. And so we ended up talking with detectives and I think an assistant DA from Cook County in Las Vegas. And anyway, that turned out to be an unsubstantiated report. The media did report that, but there was no proof that O.J. said he was trying to recover his Hall of Fame award. But also, O.J. responded he was angry about what we had done. And so he and I got to exchange words through the media. And there were all kinds of articles and comments. We were on for hours on cable news that week, literally 4 hours on cable news with constant, you know, hourly rerunning of the video of the fires burning on the steps of the L.A. courthouse. We learned a lesson from the feminists back in the 60s. They were at the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court, and they tried to burn their bras, and it didn't work. They were fire-resistant material, and they didn't burn. It was rather embarrassing. And so the fire marshals had told us we were not allowed to use accelerants. We couldn't use fuel of any type. So we figured the L.A. Times was a publication worthy of a good burn. So we put sheets of the L.A. Times in the jerseys, and they just went up like a conflagration. It went real well. But here's one of the many things that were written back then in the L.A. Times by a columnist. What's his name? Mike Downey? Let's see. Yeah, Mike Downey, who, by the way, is now with the Chicago Tribune. But 10 years ago, he's with the L.A. Times, and he wrote quite a lengthy report on our effort. And I'll just read you one short excerpt of it. He refers to me as Burning Bob Enyart. He says, Burning Bob Enyart, the man who burned $16,000 worth of football merchandise to help fix our justice system. And he goes on in here, by the way, and he's upset that the merchandise was irreplaceable. So, and I think this guy writes a lot about sports. So he's one of the guys that motivated us to burn this, because we don't want people honoring O.J. Simpson or his memory by using his Hall of Fame award or jerseys. We didn't want it. So, of course, it was irreplaceable, and that's why we burned it. So anyway, he says, Burning Bob Enyart, the man who burned $16,000 worth of football merchandise to help fix our criminal justice system, he wrote, Mike Downey wrote, I can see people inside our criminal courts building now holding emergency meetings. We better change our criminal justice system, the mayor is saying to the district attorney. How come? How come? Bob Enyart just burned $16,000 worth of Hall of Fame plaques and Buffalo Bills jerseys. And Mike Downey says, why didn't I think of that? So I haven't thought of Mike for 10 years until O.J. sentencing was in the news right now. So I think I'm going to send him this just a little email and just say hi, drop him a line, and say, Mike, thanks for writing about us burning O.J. Simpson's memorabilia 10 years ago. And I thought I'd write Mike just to let you know I'm still here and I'm still burning stuff. And I put a little smiley face in the email, and I asked Will Duffy. I said, Will, what have we burned recently? And he said, Alana Goldman. And I just cracked up. Alana Goldman, she's the pro-abort in Washington, D.C., one of the 8 women to watch, who we debated. And now today a YouTube video is going up that's an excerpt. In fact, it's already up there, and we'll be linking to it on KGov and at Theology Online just as soon as the show is over. I'm writing in this email, Mike, just to let you know I'm still here and I'm still burning stuff. Just this week I burned Alana Goldman, And then we got the link to the YouTube video, one of the eight women to watch in D.C., BobEnyartKGov.com. And then I put a, I just paste his article from 10 years ago in here. And so I'll email that to Mike in a few minutes here, and we'll send it to some of the friends of the show. By the way, if you would like Bob Enyart Live to have your email ID to get the occasional email that we send out, please feel free either to call us. You could also ask for a catalog. And if you're a new listener, you could ask for free. We'll send you a DVD, The Bible Tour of Israel. Study the Bible on location with Bob Enyart. We'll send you that for free. And our catalog, our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Or you could email your email ID to bob@kgov.com, KGOV.com, and say, Bob, add me to your BEL email list. We rarely send emails out to people, but we'll be happy to include you when we do. Okay. So just this week, I burned Ilana Goldman, one of the eight women to watch in D.C., and with a link to an excerpt of the show we did a couple days ago. And I could, even though it's a YouTube video, I could let you hear the audio. So I'd like to do that right now. We'll let you hear the audio. And on YouTube, in the video, as I'm asking Ilana Goldman, she's a leader in the effort to keep abortion legal. And I ask her, well, what is a fetus? She can't answer that question. In fact, pro-aborts have been refusing to answer that question for some time now. And I asked her, is it alive? Forget about if it's a person, just is it alive? And as she's refusing to answer that question, as I'm asking that question, we show video, 4D ultrasound video of a baby in the womb sucking his thumb. So is it alive? She's even afraid to indicate if it's alive or dead. I mean, she wants to kill it. She should say, yeah, it's alive because I want to kill it. But she can't even say, she can't even admit it's alive, and that's being afraid of your own position. So, okay, let's hear that, and then a couple other news stories. But here's Ilana Goldman on Bob Enyart Live this week, the shortened, excerpted version. So instead of a half-hour discussion, it's a lot more brief. But let's hear it.
Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, an organization that has been advocating passage of FOCA, the Freedom of Choice Act. They're the Women's Campaign Forum. The Freedom of Choice Act, we are here at Bob Enyart Live on a 50,000 watt AM Christian radio station. I've been doing the show 5 days a week for, 17 years now. We are pro-life, that is, we're against abortion. So to discuss this, I'd like to welcome the president of Women's Campaign Forum, Ilana Goldman. Ilana, you were on Fox News recently.
Yes, I was.
And you were talking about FOCA, the Freedom of Choice Act. And, in fact, you've been identified as one of the eight women to watch, profiled in the Washingtonian magazine, 100 Most Powerful Women in Washington. So you and I are on completely opposite sides of this issue. If you're okay with this, I'd like to talk through the issue and see how it is that you could support the right to abortion. So could I say in one sentence why abortion is wrong, and then you tell us if I'm wrong?
You absolutely can tell me why you think it's wrong.
Okay. Abortion is wrong because it's a baby. It's always wrong to intentionally kill a baby.
Okay. You know, I think that's absolutely a valid position. I respect that. I don't believe, and there are many people that do not believe, that a fetus or an embryo is the same thing as a baby, that we believe that, life begins after birth.
Okay, you just said, and Ilana Goldman, I realize when people speak on the radio and impromptu, sometimes we overstate our case. And I'd like to...
Did I go to town?
You might have. You just said that we believe that life begins after birth. I'm sure that's not the case, right? you know that the baby in the womb, when he's sucking his thumb, playing with his toes, if they're twins, they grab one another. The baby learns his mother's voice as compared to the voice of a nurse or a doctor. The baby can actually learn melodies to songs. Ilana Goldman, again, the president of Women's Campaign Forum. And let me ask you, is it living? I mean, personhood is one issue, and being alive, like a plant is alive and a rabbit is alive, but a plant is not a person. So whether you're alive, that's a separate matter from whether something's a person. So do you agree that it's alive? Just in the biological sense, is it living or is it dead?
I'm going to be perfectly honest. What you're saying does not make sense to me.
I'm asking if it's living.
If you want to talk about what are the realities?
I realize you don't want to address the issue of what it is. You'd rather skip over that to talk about strong emotions and majority opinions.
I'm not skipping over it.
Could you answer this? Because you said life begins after birth. I think you overstated your own case. But is it living? Is it living or is it dead? I mean, there's inanimate things like rocks are not living. So the fetus in the womb, it's sucking its thumb, playing with its toes, sleeping, it dreams. Is it living? I'm not saying is it a person. Is it living?
I am unwilling to engage.
You're afraid of that question.
No, I'm not afraid of that question.
Well, then answer it. Is it living? It's either living or dead.
I think the definition of life, what is life? When does life begin? These are questions that people reasonably struggle with.
You've come to a conclusion on something you say that is a very controversial, emotional issue. But it seems that our conclusions will be more reliable if we can be objective and intellectually honest and deal with the fundamental matters. For example, what is it? And Ilana, the audience is hearing that you're one of the 8 women to watch in Washington, but you're afraid to say whether it's living or dead. And that should be a simple statement just of biology, not even legality or morality.
Again,
Is it alive?
I want to be perfectly clear.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of this question. I just think it's a ridiculous question. It's not one.
Well, you can't decide what to do with it unless you know what it is.
I have an opinion on this. I'm answering you straight. I don't think it is the right question.
All right,
I think it is a question that we as a society do not have a consensus answer to, that we all have different perspectives on based on a range of things in our backgrounds. And it's not the place to have the conversation. The place to have the conversation is sometimes there are difficult decisions in our lives. Should the government be the one making the decision?
Okay.
That is the issue.
And 100 years ago, they said the greatest evil in the world was slavery, except for abolition. And there's all kinds of ways to obfuscate if you want to ignore the fundamental question of what is it. Before I know what I can do with it, I have to know what it is. Can I dispose of it? Can I throw it out? Can I kill it? Well, the question is, what is it? And that seems to be, Ilana, even though you're a leader in this issue, you seem to be afraid to address that. Let me ask you this. What is a fetus? What is a fetus?
What's your game here? We're on the show.
Yeah.
My understanding was you want to talk about what FOCA is and what the objectives are there.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the Colorado personhood.
FOCA says you can terminate it.
I'm happy to talk about the policies and the politics. I'm not going to get into larger questions of life, religion, and science.
Okay. We don't want to get into the big issues of what is it. We just want to kill it. If your kid comes to you and says, Mom, I want to kill it, what's the first thing you got to ask? What is it? Mom, I want to kill it. Okay, Johnny, go ahead. Go ahead and kill it. Oh, by the way, what is it? Right? If it's a bug in his bedroom, if it's a spider, maybe it's a black widow. He wants to whack it with a shoe. Okay, go ahead and kill it. If it's the pet, Spot, the dog, you don't have them kill it. If it's the neighbor, you don't have them kill it. When somebody wants to kill it, you got to ask, what is it? That is the number one issue that the pro-aborts are afraid to discuss. What is it? They don't want to talk about it. Because it's obvious when you talk about it, it's a baby. A pregnant woman doesn't say, oh, my tumor is doing well, my clump of cells. You know what Planned Parenthood has always called it? Product of conception. Well, Will Duffy's out there reminding everybody that they're admitting the fetus began at conception. They admit it with 40 years of their terminology. They're afraid to call it a baby, but they call it the products of conception. Those liars. And Ilana Goldman, in fact, she even called it a baby. She slipped up. In that little excerpt, she called it a baby. Of course it's a baby. How's the baby doing? People don't ask a pregnant woman, how's the tumor doing? How's a clump of cells doing? How's the baby doing? So, hey, I could use some help at theologyonline.com. I'm locked in a struggle with an evolutionist named Johnny, and it's called a one-on-one. This is a two-week informal debate at TOL. And if you are interested, you can go to theologyonline.com and just click on the discussion thread for the one-on-one between Bob Benyar and Johnny on evolution and entropy. It should be fun. We'll talk about it on this show. Let's go to Parker. Lana, welcome to Bob Benyar Live.
Hi. Sorry to say my name's Lana again, but...
That's all right, Lana. Hi.
Hi. I listened to the show the other day when Alana was on it, and I was listening to her, and I am just... Is it true that most of the women in America really believe or think the way she does?
Well, I don't know about most, because women are more pro-life than men are. Lana, have you heard this? This has been known for decades, that men are more pro-choice than women, because, of course, women carry babies, and they know it's a baby. They bond with the baby before it's even born. So I don't know that most women would say the things she said, but many, many pro-abortion women and men would say, would have a hard time admitting that it's a life.
Okay. Well, I just, you know, I was listening to her, and she kept talking to you about saying something about you dancing around the point or something like that. And
yeah.
I'm like, she's the one that was dancing around the point. She was the one that couldn't answer a question.
A simple...
And it wasn't making sense. It was almost like she almost came out as a robot. It was really scary. You know, one of those robots that you feed information to.
Right, exactly.
And then you ask,
and they
yeah,
spit it back.
Yeah, and you ask the wrong question, smoke starts coming out,
Lana,
and sparks.
We're out of time. Thank you for your call, Lana. I appreciate that. But, yeah, and the pro-lifers, we have the answers. So we should never hesitate to give answers, thinking we're going to outsmart the other side. We answer their questions. God bless you.